Today we're going to study fruitfulness. Fruitfulness in Christ. In other words, being productive. Being able to do some work that counts not just temporarily, not just here and now, but forever, permanently, in the church, in Christ Jesus. So we're going to start with the parable in Matthew 13 concerning the sower and the soils. Sower went out to sow. So we'll read that starting 13 verse 3 in Matthew. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds, fell by the road, and birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear, let him hear. So here's the parable of the sower. And we see the four different types of soil that the seed fell on. Out of those four, you notice that only one produced. The others did not. So one out of the four is someone who's saved, who is in Christ. The others are outside of Christ. They might claim to be in Christ, or they might have done that for a while, or they may have even really got excited about it and really said, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But they had never received the Holy Spirit and been born again and been actually a part of his true church. So the true church is different than the visible church here on earth, isn't it? The visible church might include all four of those kinds of people in them that are in this parable. Only the fourth, though, is in the invisible church that is known to the Lord. I'd like you to look with me at John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. That's John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 8. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean, Jesus said to his disciples, because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So, an important scripture about being fruitful for the Lord is right there, and that we're going to think about that. We're going to look at a couple questions. So, what two things are credited to you as you produce fruit? They're found in verse 8. You know, these verses don't just apply to his disciples. They apply to the whole church. They apply to you and I. You see the two things in verse 8 that are credited to you and I as we produce fruit through the Holy Spirit? First, God is glorified. And secondly, you see it in verse 8 that it proves that you are in Christ, attached and living in the vine. So being fruitful depends on what? Well, if we take a look at this, we see that it depends on being in Christ. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me, the Lord Jesus Christ says. So now we want to do a little exercise. I'd like you to keep this passage open and also turn back to Matthew. We want to look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, 22 and 23. So keep John 15 open, but look at also at Matthew 7, 22 and 23. It says in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, says the Lord, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So check out John 15. And we want to look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they are gathered and cast into the fire, and they are burned. So here we see what happens to those who are really not in Christ. People say they follow Christ. People say they're in the church. They say they're out there doing the good works, and depending on their works in many cases. So on that day, they say, look what we did, Lord. Look at our works. And he says what? He never knew them. They weren't part of him. They weren't in Christ. They weren't abiding in him. They weren't connected to the vine. And so the fruit was not real fruit. That's the difference right there. So now we're going to move on, and I want you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and that's the one about the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Remember, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to look at it. Of course, that's in verse 22 and 23. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Think of a fruit tree or a fruit-producing vine, a plant that produces fruit. So what's it really good for? Well, if the fruit isn't used, what happens to it? Well, it falls to the ground and rots. We saw that a lot when I was a kid. We'd go out and play, and we'd see this fruit laying around that wasn't being used. It was on the ground, so we could use that to have splat battles. Well, we use fruit for something completely different. We could throw it at each other and splat with it. But that was not really a great use for fruit. What is fruit really used for? Well, it's nutritious. It's sweet. It's good. If your life's fruit, if your life's spirit produce, your Holy Spirit fruit is only used when it is, it's only used when it is shared with others. It's not good for if it's not used or used with others. Fruit does not eat itself. It is eaten by others. It is for the church, not just for you alone. And then the church is a witness to those outside of Christ. The nourishment and the sweetness is for sharing. Now, if you look in Galatians there in chapter 5 at verses 13 and 14, we see what we are instructed about how to use the Spirit-produced fruit. 13 and 14, what do you see? If you look at it, and read it. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into the opportunity for the flesh, but through love, what? Serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So there you see in that scripture that what we do is serve one another. That's really what the fruit is for, isn't it? Look at the different aspects of that fruit. 5:22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things really come into play when we are with one another, loving one another, helping, encouraging, strengthening, working with, meeting one another's needs. So if you look in Galatians chapter 6, it says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. 9 and 10. We want to look at 9 and 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith, the church. Ephesians 2:10 tells us this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So these good works are fruit. That's how we use the fruit. That's what we do with it. We perform the good works that God has beforehand prepared for us to do. Ephesians 4:24-28. This is how we are instructed to apply the fruit of the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters. To say it another way, this is what we use our energy in Christ to accomplish. Here's how it reads. And put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, which has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has the need. That's what we're supposed to do, to be able to help one another, to be able to assist, to meet each other's needs. We see that in the early church. If you look over here at Acts, we see the example as the church started. Acts chapter 4, verses 31 to 35. 4, 31 to 35. And when they had prayed, the place where they were in gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property for them. And with the great power, the apostles were given testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would distribute to each as any had need. Here again we see that the fruit was used to be meeting needs in the church. Now this is not what you would say is Marxism, socialism, or any kind of ism. It is the fruit of the Spirit in Christ. Maybe if you must call it a name, you could call it Christian Loveism, because it's what Christians do with the fruit of the Spirit. Lastly, we want to look at Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14. Titus 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. So the question I have, what are you zealous for? For politics? For position? For power? For wealth? For knowledge? In this temporary society and culture that will soon be gone forever, we have lots of things that we could be zealous for, and sometimes we are, but we shouldn't be. Are you really zealous for those things, or are you zealous to use the fruit of the Spirit, the good works which God prepared beforehand, so that you can walk in them? May we be a blessing to one another in the church going forward, using the fruit that God produces through us. May it be a blessing to each and every one. Amen.